Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy, Lowe will be joining us momentarily. What a college football weekend.
Pretty wild all around, honestly. For a second there, I thought Georgia was going to go down, and hopes got crushed late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I was watching that, and I'm like, so this is right where, at about the point, Brock Bowers is going to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do?
Made a play.
Because that's what Brock Bowers does.
Can't be Georgia kicking field goals.
No, even if your kicker is 300 pounds and is probably going to have a good NFL career.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like everyone's making fun of the guy. It's like, oh, look how fat he is. It's like, well, guess what? That guy's probably going to have a long NFL career. Be like Sebastian Janikowski.
I remember him from last year. I mean, granted, they didn't have many scoring opportunities against us, but I remember he hit a few field goals. But that's just a soul-crushing loss for Dorkowitz in Missouri. I don't know if they recover from that.
I don't know, man. Like, they put everything they had into that game.
Yep.
And for a minute, it looked like they were going to get it because Georgia didn't lead until fourth quarter.
Yep. And
they just couldn't move the ball after that.
I think Missouri may be looking for a new head coach after this year also.
I think they are. And speaking of people looking for new head coaches, Wisconsin has fired Paul Christ, father of Keller Christ, who was the quarterback for 1 year at the University of Tennessee. That one I don't like.
Just feels like they pulled the trigger a little bit too soon. I mean, this was his first kind of, I would say, rough start for him since he's been there.
Right.
And just comparing him to, we've heard comparisons to Nebraska, us with Philip Fulmer, but, I mean, stat on Twitter, at Dirk Chatelain, Bo Pelini's record in Nebraska, 2008 through 2014, 66-27. Paul Chris's record at Wisconsin, same amount of time, 6 years, 67-26. So, pretty similar, and Paul Chris is a little bit better than that.
Well, and you look at Paul's resume. He was a quarterback at Wisconsin in the 80s. He took over in 2015. First year goes 10-3. Next year, 11-3. 2017, 13-1. 2018, 8-5. That was his worst year until the COVID year. But in 2019, 10-4. 9-4 last year, starts out the season 2-3, and they decided to go ahead and pull the trigger.
Kind of ironic that he ended up getting beat by Illinois, who's coached by Brett Bielema, who was the coach there before Christ. I mean, she kind of came back full circle, and I did not expect to see him get fired like that.
No, and I mean, when you've got that success, when you are, of course, they didn't win any Big Ten titles because you're going up against Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah.
But he had four divisional titles, or excuse me, three. He had three, you know, 11-3 1 year, 13-1, and then 10-4. That's a lot of 10-win seasons, man, especially given the lifetime the coaches are given right now.
I don't really know what you're supposed to do at Wisconsin. I mean, I get it's an okay job, but you're never going to be better than Ohio State or Michigan or those top schools. So I think he did pretty well for what he's given, and that's going to be a hard job to take to follow up because – they better make a good hire.
They're going to have to. If you haven't seen yet, Tennessee is going to bring back the Smoky Grays for an away game this Saturday at LSU. Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite right now. Pretty high over-under on it, 63.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting – I don't know if I would say a shootout, but I would kind of compare it to Pitt a little bit. But their defense, I mean, they look –
I already told you what it's going to be. It's going to be a one-score win, and it's not going to go to overtime.
I mean, I worry about their defense. They looked bad against Auburn in the first half, but once they settled down a little bit, they didn't let up another point. Down 17-0, came back and won, 21-17.
That they did. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Phil is up first. What's up, Phil?
What are you saying, Jake Snake?
Philly!
Where was y'all Friday?
Well, Phil, I spent my day wearing a pair of waders and in a pool. And
in a pool?
Not in an enjoyable way. In a very labor-intensive way.
Huh. That's kind of interesting. Like I said, give us insight on that, you know?
Well, Phil, if it's bad enough that I have to go home and take a shower before the show, and I'm not going to have time to make it back, there's not going to be a show because I can't go around stinking. You know how I feel about that.
Well, you're still up there in La Falla. I guess you got to drive up there and come drive back. I guess I can see why, you know?
Oh, no, I live up in Powell now. I don't make
that
drive.
Oh, you're in Powell now?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hell, that's good news. No, you're down K-Town now.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
Cool.
Well, not necessarily K-Town. We're close enough to it, though.
Well, I mean, all the action starts in Powell anyway, no?
That's true. As long as I don't have to pay those city taxes, I can just pay the county taxes. Life's good. I don't want to pay no city taxes.
Well, what was that you talking about there about a coaching change? Who y'all talking about? I missed that.
So Wisconsin fired their coach yesterday.
Yeah.
And, Phil, I don't think they should have fired him. I mean, that man brought them quite a few 10-win seasons. Granted, he never won the conference, but you're not going to do that when you're having to go up against Ohio State, Michigan, teams like that. And his record was, I think, what, 70%?
Yeah, 70% winning percentage, yeah.
67 and 26, 67 out of 90.
I guess the Wisconsin just got unreal expectations of the program.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time they even went to a BCS game? Because, like, they haven't made it to a college football playoff. I'm wondering when the last time they even made it to a BCS game was.
Didn't Alabama beat them and been a few years back in the playoff?
That was Michigan State.
Oh, it was Michigan State?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so when was the last time they won the Big Ten?
Probably under Bielma.
Conference titles, it says the last one was 2012.
So that would have been under Bielma.
Yep.
Huh. Well, and then Bielma beat them this week. That's probably what did it, you know?
That's probably what did it. Now, another one, Phil, they're saying is on the hot seat is Jimbo Fisher. Apparently, a lot of the boosters down there are willing to pay that buyout if he can't get it turned around.
Yeah, and you know who they want, don't you?
Who's that?
Urban Corrupt Meyer.
Oh.
Fitz.
Oh, and we got to play them next year. They're on our schedule for next year.
Mm. Well, I'll say one thing. Urban will have a down quarterback when he comes in here instead of Jimbo's got – he plays that hog ball that Fulmer played. And, you know, that's what Kentucky plays, hog ball. They can't win. He went big time doing that. It's
no,
new age now.
Well, that and Kentucky's got a lot of injuries now. You got a lot of their fans that would just be happy going 8-4 at this point, given what all they just lost. And this is a team that a lot of people thought were going to, you know, go toe-to-toe with Tennessee. But if they're missing all that on defense and if Will Levis is not
– turnover machine.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Is like we might put up 50, 60 points on them again.
Well – Will Levis, he kind of reminds me of Worley, a more talented Worley, you know?
He is. I mean, he's the reason they lost the game on Saturday.
Or Tyler Bray. I mean, nut cut time Tyler Bray choked just like Levis does. And it's nut cut time he chokes.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, Tyler Bray could sling it a lot better than Levis can.
Yeah, he was a better passer. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But they talk about how great Kentucky's receivers are. Although, I'd like to have that Captain Murfreesboro that I don't know how in the hell he ended up there. It wasn't Blake for Kentucky.
Barry and Brown.
Yeah, he's good.
Murfreesboro's weird like that, Phil. They think that Tennessee is MTSU's biggest rival for whatever reason.
Yeah, but go Kentucky. I mean, why not go somebody that does some winning, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like, if he would just took the 2.5-hour trip east, just down I-40, he could have been here. Instead, he's going up to a town where if you get outside the city of Lexington, there's nothing to do.
There's no NFL success for him either.
No.
All honestly, though, the transfer portal, he might end up here the way things are now in this day and age. I mean, Tennessee ought to be attractive for a receiver.
Oh, we should get every quarterback, receiver that we want tied in.
Brew McCoy's a great example.
Yeah.
Well, we need to get a running back. I don't know what they're recruiting. They're recruiting a Kentucky commit out of Alabama right now. Did you see that?
Did not see that.
He's out of Birmingham. He's a Kentucky commit, but he's a big running back, too, which we do need. We need a big running back.
You know what we need? We need another Jamal Lewis. That's what we need. Someone big that can still run the ball.
Well, not asking for much, are you?
I don't think it's. I don't think that's too much, is it? We can get a Travis Henry, a Travis Stevens any day of the week. We got to find us a Jamal Lewis.
I called your buddy, Tom Brady fan this morning, and told him Tom Brady got annihilated last night. He didn't like it too good.
Good.
I said he got all meaningless stats after the game was over with. You know?
Oh, I've dealt with him all day. That's all I've dealt with all day is Adam Hickman.
Well, it's pretty cool, though. Y'all go out and get sponsors together. I don't know how that works. It's got oil and water. Go out and get sponsors. I kind of like it, though.
That's what we do. We build pools, and when we go to lunch, we try to find a sponsor.
Are y'all going to have a Saturday show this week?
Yeah, we're going to do it this week. Hopefully no technical difficulties. We've had problems with that the past two we've done, but I think this Saturday we're all going to be good to go.
Are y'all going to be in the studio, or are y'all going to have a remote somewhere?
No, we're going to be in studio for that one. That one's too early to really go anywhere and do anything.
I guess I'd call in and give you a 20-minute segment, kind of.
I'm not opposed to it at all, Phil. You can call in and you talk as long as you want.
Well, that's all I like about you. You're all about to call. You don't like that 3 o'clock clowns who like Kentucky football. See you.
Phil doing what Phil does. Bashing W. Stay with us. Overtime continues. Fan Run Radio back with more right after this. Welcome back. Overtime continues. Flo has entered the building. How was your week?
It was pretty good. I had quite a busy week trying to buy a house. So, another house anyway. So.
Always, always stressful.
It is.
It's fun, but it can be the most stressful thing that anybody ever does. I mean, that's the thing. You know, with home buying, you need to get you a good realtor. Like our friend Bo Kregner over at the Kregner Group, if you are a veteran, take advantage of the Homes for Heroes program. Guys, Bo Kregner, real estate the right way. Go check him out at BoKnowsHouses.com, and he will be sure to make sure you find the home that you are looking for. So, Tennessee is going to Baton Rouge this weekend, and we are wearing an alternate uniform on the road. Is that just one of the best ways we can just go in and just hit them in the mouth right off the bat? It's like we've not even kicked off yet. We're 5 days out, and we just went ahead and decided, oh, you know what? We're going to go ahead and smack them in the mouth right now.
You know, I really do love that move. I think – I don't know who necessarily decided that. If it was Coach Heupel, I absolutely love that. But how fun. It just makes it that more exciting for your players to get to do something like that, get them a little bit more juiced up and ready for the game. I mean, those – jerseys are nice as hell, so it's just adds another exciting element going in undefeated, a top 25 matchup, and getting to wear that on the road to hopefully secure a win just gets all the excitement flowing for those guys.
And we saw how hard it was this weekend to win on the road in the SEC. I mean, Georgia, you know, going out to play a what we consider a non-premier program in the SEC, like one of your bottom tier teams, and only coming out with a small victory.
You know, that was, oh my God. I watched that to the very end. I was wanting them to lose so, so, so bad.
Texas A&M's another one.
Ooh.
They played like garbage on the road.
Ooh. Ooh. They are.
They're in trouble.
They're in big trouble, and, you know, we were talking with Phil before he came in here, Low. Jimbo Fisher is probably the most underachieving coach in college football right now. I don't think anybody in the room would disagree. For what he's got, for what he's recruited, Davis, you've looked up the recruiting rankings. It's not like they're hurting for talent.
No. I mean, he does have a natty, but that was with Jameis, and like the farther we get away from Jameis, it's almost been 10 years now, mm-hmm. and like it just seems like Jameis was the one that was carrying him, not Jimbo carrying Jameis.
Well, and I've said it time and time again. I think he took over a program that Bobby Bowden left for him that was in, you know, wasn't in great shape, but it was in good shape. And he had just enough talent there to take it to the mountaintop. And then once all that talent fizzled out after their championship, what happened? He went, what, 4-5 before he took another job, 5-6?
Well, he won the Orange Bowl the year before with Dalvin Cook and all them. And then the next year, yeah, that's when they played Alabama to open the season. They were ranked like number 3.
Mm-hmm.
And their starting quarterback, Francois, got hurt, blew his knee out, and then was down from there. I mean, that's part of the recruiting, though, right? You got to have a serviceable quarterback once your starter goes out.
Well, and you look, too, at what Florida State has become since he left. You know, everybody wanted to put the blame on Willie Taggart, but that's just the prime example of everybody wanting to blame coaches, but sometimes it's players and bad athletic directors who get to fire several coaches before somebody realizes that your athletic director or your boosters are the problem. And Florida State has been in a jam ever since. Now, Mike Norvell, of course, they lost this weekend, but he seems like he's finally got it turned around.
He's getting fired this year.
You think so?
He's a fraud. I've told you this. He lost this weekend. He's got NC State, then Clemson. Those are two L's.
Two L's.
Georgia Tech, I don't know. I mean, they beat Pitt this weekend.
Yeah.
Miami, Syracuse, Louisiana, and Florida. So if he puts up a 6-6 or 7-5, like, they're already fed up with him. So I don't know how far he stays.
I must agree. I agree with Davis on that. I don't see – even though, I mean, yeah, you said he had Clemson and NC State.
Yeah, back-to-back this back week and to next. Back.
Yeah, I mean, and they aren't even that good.
No.
At all.
No.
So if he can't pull out one of those two, I mean, it's not looking pretty for him either.
But, I mean, at least they're giving him a chance.
He's very lucky to be 4-1. He should be 2-3.
He should be. But at least Florida State has given him a chance. And, you know, Paul Christ, I mean, this was going to be his first bad year, and they said, no, you're done. And it's like, wow, you just fired a guy who brought you guys a lot of success. You know, we talked with Phil on the phone, and he said, you know, well, did they win a conference title? I was like, well, no. You know, you're not going to do that when you're playing Ohio State, Michigan, teams like that every year. They did win their division 3 times. They got to that game. They got to their conference championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I think it was the year they went 13-1. I think they were undefeated in the regular season and then lost in the conference championship game. And I think that would have actually put them in the college football playoff had they won. But I think Ohio State was the one ended up getting that anyway.
And was how long has he been here or been there?
He was hired in 2015.
Yeah.
I mean,
won 70% of his games.
Yeah, but he'll get picked up somewhere. I would think.
That's just weird because, I mean, that's their Fulmer. He played quarterback there in the 80s. I mean, that was their guy.
Yeah.
You are correct. 2017, they went 13-1. So they lost their conference game to Ohio State, and that's when they won the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was as close as he got.
I mean, at least he was in contention.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, I wish that we would have had their problems right now. Like, say that we never hired Josh Heupel. We would be praying that we had a situation like that. It's like, okay, we're going to win 10 games every year, or we're going to win 10 games every other year. You know, one year you're going to win 13 games. I'd love that.
Oh, yeah.
I would love that. I mean, Phil made a good point, too. He's like, do they think they're better than what they actually are?
Clearly.
Because realistically, they should have never fired Brent Bielema.
No, because when he was at Arkansas, I mean, he had it like – he beat us in 2015,
mm-hmm.
and I thought he was a solid coach, and I went back and looked at his record at Wisconsin. I'm like, why did he even get fired in the first place? So, I don't know.
I mean, there's a bunch of cases like this. You know, Bo Pelini at Nebraska. You know, he had them in contention to beat Texas for the conference championship one year, and it just so happened that the Texas quarterback or – receiver, whoever it was, stepped out of bounds with 1 second left on the clock to line him up for a field goal to win it. And I'm trying to think of others. It's like guys that had success that did not deserve to be fired. And Alabama had a coach in the 90s. I can't remember who it was right off the top of my head. I'm sure an alert listener will let us know.
Tom Herman's another one.
Tom Herman. He's another one. You know, Texas has not had a lot of success since firing Mack Brown. Now, granted, those last couple of years were rough, but the fact of the matter is he won them a national title.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call it like it is. And then he had them playing for another national title a few years later, you know, when they lost to Alabama.
He hadn't coached, and when did he get fired from Texas? What year? Do you know off the top of your head?
Oh, he's in North Carolina.
I know, but like what year did he get fired at Texas?
I think it was
2013.
That sounds about right.
So he took like 8 years off basically. In his first game at NC or North Carolina, I mean, he had a winning season. And then he follows it up by going to the Orange Bowl the next year. So
wow.
He clearly can still coach.
How funny would it have been if we had hired him and we'd have literally had the Texas leftovers here?
I would have been fine with that.
Oh, honestly. Absolutely. I mean, given what we had, and I mean, the thing is, Mack Brown is from Cookeville.
I didn't even realize that.
Oh, yeah, he's from Cookeville. His brother, Watson Brown, is the losingest coach in college football history. Now, granted, when you coach at places like Connecticut and Vanderbilt, and you're the head coach, you're going to rack up some losses.
That's for sure.
And where I think, yeah, he finally ended up at Tennessee Tech. And he coached Derrick Rogers. And of course, he was not successful there at all. But, I mean, that's what's going to happen when you end up dealing with this. Fun fact that I didn't realize, he was actually the coach at North Carolina before he was the coach at Texas.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. I guess it was a little homecoming.
So, yeah, you called that. It was 2013. Gets hired at North Carolina in 2019. And immediate success. 7-6. 8-4, 6-7, 4-1 right now. I mean, that's enough to keep you around in a job at a school like that. A school that relies heavily on basketball. I'm looking at his last few years at Texas. He went 5-7 in 2010 after they lost the lost in the national championship. Then goes 8-5, 9-4, 8-5, fired after going 8-5.
I can see why they fired him, kind of like how they fired Rick Barnes, because they were tired of, like, just the mediocrity, I guess, just not ever going over the hump. But I would have much rather had him than Butch Jones. I mean, I know he was like the hiring didn't line up, but I mean, just the clowns we've had the past few years. I mean, at least we knew this guy could win.
How did the 2013 search go? Mike Gundy turned us down. He wasn't the first choice, though. Charlie Strong turned us down. He wasn't the first choice. And then we eventually land on Butch Jones. I think that. Who else was on that list?
I know Gary Patterson was on the list in 2009 when Kiffin left.
But he was too much of a football coach.
Yeah, they didn't want
him. That's why they didn't hire him, is because he was too much of a football coach. It's like, well, what are we doing here? Isn't that what he's hired to do anyway? Coach football, win games, what you're supposed to do as a head coach?
I'm thinking, it's funny because I'm thinking, like, remember they brought up Sonny Dykes? Mm-hmm. When we're hired Heupel, he's got them rolling now, 5-0. I mean, they look pretty damn good right now.
Oh, they absolutely slaughtered Oklahoma. That made my heart just feel
joy.
Absolutely. And you know who their offensive coordinator is?
Lincoln Riley's brother.
Oh, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were going to tear that place apart, and that's what they did. And I had made the comment back in the summer, you guys might remember having this conversation. I said, I think that Oklahoma is the most overrated team in the top 10 right now, and I don't think they're going to finish the season maybe in the top 25.
I do remember you saying that, actually.
You said Oklahoma. I said Oregon, which was partially correct after the first week. Who'd you say, Lo? You remember?
Probably Notre Dame.
I think I did. We would have to go back.
Well, we're all right in our own ways.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame, they're a dumpster fire right now. Oklahoma, what are they right now? 3-2.
Bottom of the, they're 0-2 in the Big 12.
Yeah, that's
well, they're about
really
to be 0-3 this weekend. They got Texas this weekend.
I don't know. If he loses that game, like, I legit think there will be people that will want to fire him.
Oh, they might fire Venables halfway through his first year. I mean, with those people, they might actually do it. But the thing is, you look at what all they've lost to the transfer portal, i.e. everyone that just packed their bag and went out to Southern Cal.
Yeah.
And you look at players like Eric Gray, Wanya Morris, Keyshawn Lawrence. It's like, wow, you know, maybe the grass isn't greener on the other side, guys. Because imagine Eric Gray in this offense.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Keyshawn Lawrence would be a starter right now.
You got to think that they've got to have some form of regret seeing how things are rolling on Rocky Top right now.
Oh, they're probably just sitting there.
You know they checked their phones after the Kansas State game. Let's say that they beat Florida. You see this? Like, you know they're talking.
It's like they're 4-0. They're number 8 in the country. What did we do? Pour one out for the Oklahoma Volunteers.
They really did. They got
They got whooped. The worst end of that deal.
They got whooped. That was crazy to watch.
When we're sitting here talking about, you know, we need a running back. We need a running back. Well, guess what? Eric Gray stays. He's doing everything that Tyon Evans did last year and more.
If you think about it, really, if you just take every running back that left,
mm-hmm.
Eric Gray, Tyon Evans, you still got Jabari Small, but obviously he's still here. But, dude, Jabari Small would be the third string. If you kept Eric Gray and Tyon Evans on the roster, he would be third string. I don't think there's any debate.
Well, the thing is, Jabari Small is still a good running back. If you had both of those guys combined with our receiving core, not only would you have probably one of the better receiving cores in the country, you probably got one of the better running back cores in the country as well.
That's a great point.
I think our receiving core is what impressed me the most because, like, Keaton, I mean, we haven't really seen anything from him, but he had that quote that they asked him about transfer, and he was like, I mean, honestly, I just wasn't working hard enough. Like, he blamed himself, and now the work's paying off, and I don't think it's over because we have wide receivers just lined up. That Leacock kid's a 4-star, Squirrel mm-hmm. White, Caleb Webb's a 4-star. Like, none of those dudes even seen the field, really.
No, and the thing is, like, those guys are going to come in and they're going to get reps. And dare I say it, we might be getting back to wide receiver U.
I don't think that's a bad thing to say because you look at what we're recruiting at quarterback and our depth at quarterback and what wide receivers wouldn't want to play for someone like that. I mean, did y'all see those Nico, like, throwing 3 touchdowns on his first 3 passes? Did y'all see that video?
So he was basically 3 for 3 with 180 yards passing.
Yeah.
And 3 touchdowns
and 3
within
touchdowns.
3 plays.
Yeah. It's just absolutely incredible. Who would not want to have a quarterback with that ability? One of them was like, I think it was maybe 80-plus yards.
It's a little, I'm not hating, but it was a little underthrown. But
it was caught.
It was caught. That's all that matters. But I think Joe Milton still, he's kind of my favorite.
Start.
He's my favorite to start next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be your starter, and I don't think anybody is really going to be surprised by that, given the jump that he's made from last year to this year. I mean, you talk about probably your most improved player, and he's probably, I mean, he's not probably, I mean, he's not even starting. And he's not going to get that many reps unless, you know, we're up by 30 points. That's your most improved player from last year to this year.
I have to say I agree. I mean, I was very impressed with, you know, his couple of appearances in the earlier parts of this season. And he's big, and you want that anyways. I mean, you know, Taven Jackson looked good too, but even with Nico coming in, he's got to put on a lot more weight. I mean, he is small.
Taven.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very small now. You know, we can get him some food. We got plenty of spots around town. We got plenty of spots. We can hook him up with some Jets pizza. That's what we'll do. I'll just grab Nico and Taven and be like, hey, guys, you know, we're going to eat. And just hit him with that barbecue chicken pizza, some of those turbo sticks.
Another thing worth mentioning when we're talking about that is I feel, you know how the past 2 coaching cores that we've had, our strength and conditioning seemed absolutely atrocious. It was like we
couldn't. Every game, someone was getting hurt.
Every game, usually multiple injuries. And on top of that, we couldn't get what guys to put on weight. They just mm-hmm. didn't seem very strong. And for another thing, I don't even know who ours is right now. I'm blanking.
Kurt Schmidt, maybe? I don't. That might have been Pruitt's guy. I don't. Let me see.
You gotta give them some credit because I can just tell that our guys just look like football players.
It is Kurt Schmidt. His title, though, is Director of Competition Development. Sure. Whatever, though. Props to you, though.
Yeah.
Mr. Kurt Schmidt.
Because, I mean, you look at the 2016 year, every game. I mean, we got Jalen Reeves, Maven Hurt against a MAC team.
On special teams, by the way.
On special teams.
She didn't need to be there.
No. Wes and Franklin with the best call ever. Too scared to get Dobbs hurt to run him like the quarterback that he is, but we'll put Jalen Reeves-Maven in at special teams against a MAC team to get hurt.
Just stupid decisions.
But jumping back to the wide receivers, when was the last time we had a wide receiving core this good?
2012.
Now imagine if Derrick Rogers doesn't get kicked off the team, how good that wide receiving core would have been.
Just kind of a defense that year. That defense that year is worse than ours this year.
Oh, without a doubt.
I don't think it's close either.
No, it's nowhere near as close.
No. No way.
That was the only time that I've ever seen us score that many points in that many games and lose the majority of those games. We put up 60 points against Missouri and lost that year.
My God.
Keep that in mind. Granted, it went to, I think, double overtime, but we put up 60 points and lost.
What do y'all think, speaking of injuries and all that, God, how is our secondary going to play out now that Warren Burrell's out for the rest of the season?
Well, I think that you're going to put Brandon Turnage back there. You know, it's just going to depend on really what Tim Banks sees best. Because, I mean, you look earlier in the year, Brandon Turnage wasn't even on the depth chart.
D. Williams was he's supposed to be healthy again. He was on the depth chart against I guess it was Pitt as Warren Burrell's backup. So
I don't know. That's the roughest thing I see in this next like patch of, you know, difficult games is we're going to try and stop them on the run. And then when they pass, I'm just like, what is that going to look like?
Oh, that's the thing is like, we're going to stop them on the run.
Yeah.
We're going to get a good pass rush. But if that ball goes any further than 5 yards down the field, I think everybody here is worried.
Oh, yeah.
Jaden Daniels, he got banged up Saturday night. Little knee thing. Neusmeyer came in. That dude is garbage. Like, I hope he plays.
You just want him to play.
Yeah. Send him to the dogs.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Craft it.
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Tennessee opens. Well, I guess you can say the line has shifted because we opened up as a 4.5-point favorite. Now we're a 2.5-point favorite. Now the thing with that is the odds on there. It's always usually like -110.
Mm-hmm.
We're at -120 to cover. LSU is at -102 to cover, basically a push. The money line is at -142. The over-under set at 63.5. I think Tennessee covers. And if you're a betting person, take the Tennessee money line or take the under. I really think that we're not going to hit the over this week.
I think that's a pretty fair statement. I mean, here's the thing, too. You know, last year we got really lucky with those early start games. I mean, we came out on fire. I am very torn with this one. This one's going to be tough for them to get the Jets rolling early, I think, just because of where it's at. It's on the road. Huge matchup. I hope not. I hope we can just start out early, but for some reason, I feel like this is just going to be a very strange first half, just slow and odd.
I absolutely despise the start time, but it does help us because I would not want to start at 7:30 or 8 o'clock down there.
Oh, no. This way you can just wake up, go get ready, go play ball.
Yeah, like those LSU fans are literally going to roll out of bed and go straight to stuff. Unless they just want to start like drinking at like 4 in the morning.
And then go crash Oceana if it's still open on Bourbon Street.
See, my whole thing is I think the fans will be super in it up until the half. I think they'll get up at like freaking 4 or 5 a.m. and start drinking and then crash in the heat by halftime. Then we make our little comeback and blow it out in the second half.
That would be nice. Now, I think, you know, I don't know if you were here last week for this low, but the timeline of Tennessee at LSU, dating back to the turn of the century, 2000, overtime loss, one possession game. 2005, overtime win, one possession game. 2010, fourth quarter loss, one possession game. 2022, fourth quarter win, one possession game.
I hear you.
When I looked at this game earlier in the season, of course, I expected us to go to LSU 4-0. That's what I had predicted.
Right.
But I did predict a close loss in overtime at LSU. Now, I've shifted a little bit, but the fact that they made a comeback against Auburn the way that they did and held it out, won by what, 4?
Yeah.
I certainly think we can win and that we're the better team, but I'm very torn.
LSU is just different. It's like it's just a different atmosphere. I mean, I mentioned the basketball game last week. That was 11 o'clock tip also. And that was like the loudest thing I've ever heard. And they don't even care about basketball down there. So, but, I mean, I said it last week. I think I just have a pretty good feeling about this game, honestly. I don't really know why. It's just a gut feeling. And I said last week that we're either going to blow them off, like blow the doors off, or just – losing a close one, like Lowe just predicted. But according to the spread, I mean, it's 63.5, right? We're favored by 2.5.
That's the over-under. We're favored by 2.5, yeah.
Yeah, so the final score will be 33-31 LSU. That's what bettors say. So,
see, I was thinking like 31-28 or 31-27 Tennessee.
I'm going to go back and look at mine from the first of the – like. Beginning of the season.
Oh, so yeah, because you did a full-blown.
Did a full prediction start to finish. That'll take me a second, though. Let me find it.
Now, given, you know, we're not going to look too far ahead, but we also have to take into account for next week.
One game at a time.
I know. Bryce Young went down this weekend.
Okay, hot take. I think it benefits us more if Bryce Young plays against us.
I don't disagree with that.
Jalen Monroe, Milroe, however you say his name, that dude is fast. Like, he is going to tear us apart.
Oh, he'd have
runs.
190 yards rushing against
us. And he's not a great passer, but he's just going to chew us up on the ground.
But does that make you feel a little bit better, though, given our front seven the way it is?
Not really.
He is a Bama guy.
So, my prediction from the very beginning of the season was that we'll go into overtime and Tennessee loses 38-35. Now that seems a bit high, now that we're actually going into this
week.
Oh,
I might actually cry after that one if that happens.
Oh, I would be highly upset because that would just be a heartbreaker.
At that point you're looking at 9-3.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky's not gonna be able to do anything now. Like, their fans are gonna be happy if they go 8-4 given what they've lost.
Honestly, guys, like, I'm not – if we lose this game, we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like
– the world's not over.
No, we can still have a great season. You go 9-3, you win your bowl game, you're 10-3. Like, this game is just a extra. It's like the cherry on top. You win it, good. You don't, who cares? Like,
now, if you win it, you're setting yourself up for probably what we thought was going to be the greatest atmosphere ever a week ago or 2 weeks ago, however long it was. Now you're setting yourself up for an even bigger atmosphere for the third Saturday in October.
If we roll in 5-0 against Alabama, 3:30 start time, that's going to be incredible because Alabama, has shown some weaknesses and some struggles for sure early in the season, and they weren't even against very good teams. So we would definitely have a shot there. We had a shot last year. We were fine up to the fourth quarter.
After that bomb to Tillman that made it 31-24, they got the ball back, and they were on 3rd and 15, and they just – Bryce Young dropped a dime to Jamison Williams, like 70 yards. And that was pretty much the game. But you get a 3-and-out there, I mean, who knows? Game could have been completely different.
Well, and I mean, that was in Tuscaloosa.
We play better there. I don't care what you say. We play better at Alabama.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, you look at 2019. I mean, we had a chance to win that ball game. If Daryl Taylor doesn't get that terrible call – and then JG doesn't go rogue.
Oh my God. That was single-handedly one of the worst things I've ever seen and I've ever remembered.
That was the maddest I've ever been at a UT football game.
I've never been so angry because we had absolutely no reason to think that we wouldn't get throttled by Alabama that year. And then to almost pull it out was just, for something so stupid. God, I will never forget that. My heart rate is climbing right now just thinking about how angry I was.
Well, I mean, you got to think about that play. A guard never pulls on a quarterback sneak.
He pancaked him, too. Trey Smith did. Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, he literally hands that ball off to Quaverius Crouch. That's a touchdown.
Sick joke. I laughed. Like, I'm laughing now. I laughed. I was like, this is ridiculous. It's like a government test. Like we've heard it before, but I swear we're just like a government test. See how far we can push it.
Okay, Westchester.
So I'm sure this weekend, like I don't know, things are going too well. I need to shut up. I'm putting too much back.
Yeah,
karma.
We can't speak stuff into existence again.
Not anymore.
Nope. We're not going to do that. We're only going to give you what we know, what we actually think is going to happen. And we're not going to talk about harvesting ACLs or anything like that. Because when you talk about harvesting ACLs, for whatever reason, something doesn't go our way. Justin, Hannah, Tommy, Bear, they would all think otherwise. They're all for harvesting ACLs. Invest in GE because they make the best MRI machines. Stay with us. Overtime continues. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.